Management is a group of activities, number of things we do, steps, actions, which drafts plans, it creates plans, it prepares policies, and arranges men, money, machines, and materials required to achieve the objectives. The four M's of management, the four resources. Management is the activity of man who struggles for better living in the complex and competitive world. Those people who started off their life with a struggle, things were chaotic, too many things pulling in different directions. Some of them got into making their lives more systematic. They eliminated unwanted thoughts, unwanted actions, unwanted alliances, affiliations. And then they chose that this is what I want to do, this is my path. Some of you listening to me must have done it. And then gradually you found that your joy of living improved. Your quality of life also improved. And then you found that you were getting into better living. Better living in a world where so much of complexity is there, so much of chaos is there. Some people do live a good life because they run their life systematically through the principles of management. Not totally some of them, but most of them do it that way. Right? Taking it further, management is an organized effort of people, organized effort. After plan, we organize, we put them in a certain structure. Things are put in a systematic manner. I organize my table. What does it mean? Before I start a work, I have to plan. What work I need to do is my goal. Then I plan a timetable of activities and events. And then what I do is I organize. I organize all the resources. I keep them on the table, the paper, the printer, the laptop, etc. All those things I keep organizing, put in a systematic manner. System is important or not? Very much. I may have a system here. There are people who are very clear here, but there's a chaos on the table. I excuse them to a point. So long as he does it, no issues. But when he is not there, the other person comes, this chaotic table will become a problem. That's why we have housekeeping. One has to clear up this table so that even if I'm not there, other person knows how to use it. The right things at the right place. Right? So, next, management is an organized effort of people whose purpose is to achieve the objectives and goals of the organization. Objectives are one step before the goal. The goal is a final destination which we reach. Objective is indicating the purpose and direction of the goal. To achieve a goal, I need to have a purpose and a direction into my mind. Because when the mind is thinking about a purpose and a direction, the goal becomes easier to achieve. There's a meaningfulness of the goal. That's the objective, right? And taking it further, we are coming down to the very first contributor of management. He goes by the name of Frederick Winslow Taylor, popularly called as F.W. Taylor. Now, he is a gentleman about which, little bit briefly, I'll be talking right now. According to F.W. Taylor, management is the art of knowing what you want to do and then seeing that it is done in the best and the cheapest way. Cheapest is not money. Cheapest means I'm able to put the minimum of inputs. It could be money also, but not money alone. How do I do it in the best possible manner? After knowing what I want to do, the first thing is I must know what I want to do, my goal. Second is, and seeing that it is done in the best and the cheapest way, that according to Taylor was the management as an art. Taking it further, we come to another gentleman called Henry Fayol, contributor to the management thought process, Frenchman. Okay, now what has he to say? Let's understand. According to Henry Fayol, to manage is to forecast, predict, and to plan, and to organize, and to command, and to coordinate, and to control. These words have got specific meaning in the study and practice of management. We use these words very loosely outside. I was coordinating with my friends. I was coordinating for the picnic. Pause, stop using these words in a very loose manner and start using what I call it as session terminology. As a trainer, when I train leaders, there are certain training session terminologies which is there in the brochure, in the course material. So I encourage people to use a session terminology, because session terminology means I use the proper word in the context in which it is being discussed. For example, here coordination is very different. Coordinating is got a different meaning altogether. Coordination is not about talking to different people and getting things done. It's got a certain meaning, which I'll explain when we come to that particular chapter of coordination. Okay? So each of these words, plan, forecast, organize, command, coordinate, control, all of them have got a certain specific meaning, and behind the meaning is a process, which we'll understand as we go down the line. Management is the optimum utilization of available resources in order to attain certain preset goals and objectives. One of my very popular definitions, which I include in many, many forums and sessions. Optimum utilization. Optimum means the best possible under the circumstances. I may have a huge amount of money. Do I need to use all? No. Whatever is required, I take that. It's about a housewife preparing a cup of tea, going back to my example. She'll not use her full 1 or 2 kgs of sugar which is there in her box. She'll use only what is required. And that is an art. How much to be put, how much of milk, how much of tea, how much of sugar, all this is art, which changes from person to person who's handling the tea making. Right? Available resources. Whatever is available, I should know how to use it. That's why we always say that the best manager is the mother at home, the housewife. Because whatever is available, she'll use it in the best possible manner. Is it not a fact? So, optimum utilization of available resources in order to attain certain preset goals and objectives. That means the goals have to be first set. Only when this is set and then we go to the resources mapping, then we can actually use it. So, first comes the goal setting, then comes the resources planning, then comes the actual use of the resources. Right? Optimum utilization means what? Best possible utilization under given circumstances. Now, management as a process. We are discussing management as a process. Process, as I said earlier, is a series of steps you take from start to finish to get certain task done. Task is what? Achieving a goal. The goal is already preset. So, to go to that particular goal, to the destination, I need to have certain steps. Those steps have to be done in a certain manner. And those steps are termed as a process steps. Right? So, according to McFarland, another management consultant, a very reputed person, he defines management as a process by which managers create, direct, maintain and operate purposive. Purposive means something which is purposeful, not something which is wayward. It has to have a certain purpose. Okay? Purposive organization through what? Systematic, coordinated, cooperative human efforts. The definition given by this gentleman called McFarland. Further, the term process, it emphasizes the dynamic, moving, ongoing nature, it's continuous, of management and activity over varying span of time. An activity that is spread over a period of time. That's why we say management is continuous and we say management is dynamic. Once we start the management process of going towards the goal, it has to go on and on and on and on. And to make it go on and on and on effectively, I need to have certain type of disciplines, right? The dynamic nature implies that change is reality of organization life. All of us know, we use the word, change is a constant in life. So organizations keep changing. Either they change themselves internally because of certain reasons, or the market conditions keep changing and they have to respond to the market changes. So suffice it to say, change is a constant through which an organization has to constantly keep moving. And so the dynamism part of it comes, right? Businesses fail and become bankrupt because managers fail in their attempt to cope with the change. If the company says that I'm not going to change, there have been a number of companies in India and abroad who have resisted change. They were successful once upon a time. But somewhere they got complacent and they believed that their way is the best way. And they refuse to move with the times. We have got a number of tech firms in the recent years which were number one in terms of their tech positions. Cell phone companies, for example. And look where they are. They have tumbled down to not being existing in the market itself because they did not respond to the dynamism of the change of the market needs. Donnelly, Gibson and Ivanisevic, these three gentlemen, they also support the view that management as a process, but their stress is more on coordination. Now, they were talking about coordination. You know, we understand each and every term one by one to know what it is. Now, what is coordination? Coordination is basically the system by which we try to correlate with dissimilar functions. I'll speak about it in the subsequent sessions. Let me take this slide, which says Dunn, Stephens and Kelly. Again, three consultants. They say that management is a role which includes set of duties. Duties is something which I choose to do as a part of my call of my activities, responsibilities and relationships involved in work organizations. These duties and responsibilities constitute the function of a manager, the manager performs. So in other words, a managerial function is a responsible, dutiful function. That's what these three gentlemen have given us as a definition. Management is getting things done through other people. Yes, of course. But when I get it done from other people, I am not oblivious or ignorant about what is being done. I don't leave it to them. If some of you have been running companies by thinking that your people are going to do things because they alone know it, you are mistaken. You are supposed to know what they are doing. First and foremost, you must do what they have done. Then if you hire a person who is going to do what you did earlier, it becomes a good management. Okay? Efficient management is the lifeboat of any developed business. What is a lifeboat? A lifeboat is an additional boat you must have seen in large ships. When there's a crisis, when the ship is sinking, you saw the movie Titanic. There are lifeboats. So people are made to sit in the lifeboat and the lifeboat is lowered and they go back to safety. So efficient management makes the company survive. We've gone through a crisis, economic crisis in India and abroad in the last about a decade. Now, very efficient managed companies were able to survive the crisis. Good banks in India, very good IT companies in India, very good FMCG companies, automobile units, as you know, all of them have been able to survive because these organizations have got efficient management. Now, when we say efficient management, it's not an abstract. This terminology is coming after discussing all these things. The various organization members in these companies, they have a clarity of thinking. They set the processes. They know the goal. They themselves live as disciplined lives. And then the whole organization becomes efficient. They say when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So when the market conditions become very difficult, the lifeboat is the way you are tough. Your toughness is all about efficient management. Right? There are 5 M's in the business. Now we come to the 5 M's, which are the resources which are required to fulfill your preset goals or objectives. And these include, first is man. Man is a major resource because man is a live resource. Man runs the company, man runs himself, man runs the various resources, man thinks, man intellectualizes. He is a central focus of every organization resource. So man has to be qualified. Now this is not about educational qualifications alone. Its qualification means he must have a good amount of depth about what he is doing for the organization goals to be effectively achieved. He must be trained enough, skilled, experienced and competent people. They are very important as an input, as man as a resource. So man as a resource needs to have these qualities. Next, we talk about machines. Machines are what are called as the multipliers. They are the ones who act as leverages for production. You do a task without a machine, you are able to produce less, as we know. When you put a machine into play, it multiplies the production, it starts giving you higher production. So machines are the multipliers of output. And so machines have to be available. They should be capable of producing what they are supposed to produce. And they have to do the things in the best and the cheapest way. Machines are investments, not cost. A machine may be costing 1.5-2 crores, a few million. Now if you look at the cost, if you look at it as a cost, not look at the advantage it gives in terms of production output, then you are seeing the wrong picture. So machines are what we call it as a capex, capital expenditure for the company, right? Third comes materials. The materials are the ones that go inside into the organization as a resource in the management process, These materials are used in different forms, and these materials are converted from finished goods into from raw materials into finished goods. There are materials which are required for the production, and there are materials that are required for support functions also. So those are all the things that are consumed. Those also need to be properly taken care of. The third M which we are talking about. Now we come to the, what does it say? Let's see. Quality of the materials, quantity of the materials, availability, cost and market price, transportation of the raw materials or the semi-finished goods and the finished goods is a clearly a very important, vital, life-giving factor in the success of management. Next we come to money. The most important backbone, many people believe, but I wouldn't say that money is the only backbone of business. There are other backbones also. Companies which are cash rich, lot of money they have, but they are poor on men. They do not have qualified good men because of the culture of the company. So the entire management process goes for a toss. So money, availability of funds for running the business is extremely important, obviously, particularly for producing capital goods, raw materials, tools and consumables, and availability of working capital. For running a company, we need to have what is called as a working capital. That money is very essential, right? Next comes the most important invisible part of management is methods. What are methods? If we have to do things in the best and the cheapest way, it is also important how the things are processed. How are they done? That is, by which method the things are processed? How am I doing it? Let me go back to the example of the two ladies who are making tea. Both the tea is tasting different when we sip it. Now I want, let's say A and B are there. A, the taste of A is liked by many people. So what happens is A becomes a standard. So they'll say that let us understand how A is making tea. What are the steps or the process or the methods that A takes to make the tea? That process, those set of steps are frozen into what is popularly called as SOP, Standard Operating Practices or Procedures. And every time anybody makes a tea, they will be following that particular blueprint or that set of instructions. That's how restaurants give you the same quality of food. They give you the same quality of tea or coffee or whatever, because there is a systematic approach of doing it. It's not done on whims and fancies. The science of management is put into practice, and the art of management is also put into practice by modifying the processes as and when the time comes. It becomes easier to get things replicated because of this particular process, right? So that is why these two words are important, how and by which method, right? And now the proper method will ensure required quality, quantity and in-time delivery. It will ensure the accomplishment of management objectives. The purpose and the direction of what we are doing is given by the methods. Management is an essential activity of all organized levels. Wherever you go, it's not about organizations alone. It's not about corporates. It's about anything. Hold a small function in your home, you have to organize. You have to do management. Imagine a wedding in a typical Indian family. People come from out of the city. People have to be brought in from the city, within the city where you live. You have to mobilize the resources like booking of the marriage hall, engaging the caterer, the decorations, the flowers, etc. All of you will agree that how chaotic it becomes. Now, after learning management, can you put it into practice? Can you put down a beautiful chart, allocate the resources to various people, the various members of the family, relatives, cousins, etc.? Can you make the whole system so clear? Choose the caterer, choose the food, choose the photographer, etc., etc. Do we really do it? Many don't do it. Some of them have started doing it. They find that the entire marriage functions goes very smoothly without any chaos, confusion and misunderstandings and quarrels, which is very common in many Indian weddings. I'm sure you understand, right? So management is an essential activity of all organization levels, whether it's lower level, middle level and upper level. This is about organizations, right? Management applies to small and large organizations, profit and non-profit organizations, NGOs, manufacturing organizations, service sectors also. So name it, any group of people who come together, who make a promise of delivering something, it is called as an organization. And when this organization comes together, it is controlled by these 5 M's, right? If you are a person who is capable of undertaking the tasks and the functions of managing at any level in any kind of enterprise, you have leadership qualities. You're the man of the hour, regardless of what happens. And you have qualities of an administrator, a person who runs the overall show, who produces results, who takes people along. You will become a good manager. So the key words are you capable of undertaking the tasks and functions of managing at any level? Underline, any kind of enterprise, any type of company, any type of group of people, you have leadership qualities. And you have qualities of an administrator, you will become a good manager. The coordinating qualities, as you call it, right? A good manager is expected to have abilities of 4 skills which are given below. When you join an organization, you learn 4 skills. One, we call it as a technical skill. Second, we call it as a human skills. Third is conceptual skills. And the fourth one, which is also called as design skills, is the ability to solve problems. Design skills, the ability to solve problems. Technical skills are what? Basically the reason why you are there. An IT company hires a programmer, and the technical skill of a programmer is writing a program. In a hospitality industry, they hire a receptionist, and her technical skill is talking to the guests who are coming to the hotel. So whatever is your domain function is a technical skills which you need to know. That comes from your pre-qualifications, right? So if I'm an accountant, I need to know accounts left, right and center properly. That's my technical skill. Technical skills, as a matter of fact, makes you get into an entry of an organization. You're a BCom, so you join an accounts department of a company or a finance department. Then comes human skills. You're not working alone. You may be the best accountant, but you're working with people. And when you work with people, there is a important input that you need to put into yourself. Learning to get along with people and getting things done. So these human skills are also an important part of the management process. Next comes conceptual skills, seeing the larger picture. Myself and me alone, my department, if I rise to become the HOD, head of the department, that's not enough. Do I know how the HODs are operating? I am a marketing HOD. And for 15-20 years, I've been in marketing. I know only marketing. Is that enough to know the larger picture of the company? No. Do I have conceptual skills in me? I know many people who are in one area, technical area, one domain area, and they rise to become really good, excellent domain experts in that area. But when it comes to talking to people from other departments, other areas of the companies working, which are all linked with each other, these people are very poor. They lack conceptual skills. If you want to go up the corporate ladder, you have to develop conceptual skills about networking with people, coordinating with other departments, knowing how their working and your working are interrelated. You cannot take a self-righteous stance saying that my department is the only department which is adding to the bottom line of the company. Certain companies, certain organizations and certain departments of certain companies, they do this. They become too arrogant because they have a tunnel vision. Conceptual skills means I'm seeing the overall picture. How my contribution of my department is linked with the contribution of the other department, and all of us are going towards a common goal of the organization. That's the conceptual skills. You may come from a production background, 20-25 years, you may rise to become the CEO. But if the CEO still thinks in production, in production terms, the CEO is not a good conceptual skills person. He has to think at the overall, because he'll be taking wrong decisions, strategic decisions. He'll have a bias towards production, and he may neglect certain important aspects of marketing and HR and other areas of functioning. Quite possible, right? And the ability to solve problems is very important, because today we talk about complex working. Today we have a separate area of management which is called as design management, designing. It means I have to learn to shift my thinking process and action quickly when the situation changes. This is a very, very important leadership skill that is required today. It is called as design skill, and it's also given the name ability to solve problems in a moving environment, rapidly moving environment. Okay? Any endeavor, whatever I start, it starts with a goal as the end purpose. When the goal is set, steps towards the goal also become clear, and one can become successful only if he has set the preset goal. He has preset goals. I have already explained, and now I'll go into the nitty-gritty of it. However, goals must be SMART. What we call it as SMART goals. And SMART stands for S is specific. I asked this question in the class in many forum. Do you have a goal? Yes, sir, I have a goal. What's your goal? I want to be a manager in the next 5 years. Ridiculous. Define who's a manager. Do you know who's a manager? Not a man who's wearing a tie like me now. Anybody can wear a tie. Not a person who's sitting in an AC room in an exclusive corner of the office. Not a person who's throwing orders to people. Now, these are the funny concepts which people have when they say, I want to be a manager in the next 5 years. I said, okay, in the next 5 years, fine. So, what are the qualities you have so that you become that? First and foremost, the definition of manager itself is not clear to this person. Next 5 years, where did you get that 5 years time frame? It just happens. Now, this is not a goal. Many people come with such goals, inverted commas, they are not goals. And they land up like feather in the weather. They are just floating around. They get designations called managers, but they are not doing the job of a manager. No, sorry. Designation is not equal to management. No. Designations are coming dime a dozen in many companies. Global companies attract you with fancy designations. I am not saying right or wrong of it. I want you to understand the importance of SMART goals. Because if you are sitting in a particular position and you do not know your goal, you are in the wrong position, you will be landing up in trouble. And most of the people land up in trouble today because in positions people do not understand what is their goal. They get glamorized by the trappings of what's going on, but they themselves are not joyful and happy. I'm giving this blueprint to all of you because you need to understand the importance of knowing what are you doing. I am right now talking to you in this particular video session. If my goal is not specific about what I want to talk to you, you will find this whole lecture not understood by you. And for that, I need to do my homework. I need to manage my thinking process. I need to put everything into proper track. In spite of that, things might go wrong. I might have to correct it. Now, when I do all these things, I get specific about what I need to convey to my students who are listening to me. I can't just come in and say that, okay, I'm going to give a talk on principles of management, first chapter. Let's see, I'll talk something and go. Many people do that. I can't do that. I have to be specific. So these topics I've taken carefully designed based on the textbook, the newly written book. And then I got to get specific. Specific means I want to become a manager is not specific, as I told you. What you want to accomplish in an organization is a goal. So who's a manager? Then that boy tells me, sir, manager is so and so. I said, sorry, boss, that's not a manager. Then I have to clarify his thoughts. And as you clarify your thoughts, what happens? You have some understanding about what's a manager. That gets cleared. And goal setting, the first step is be specific. I want to be a manager. According to me, manager does this A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Then somebody will counsel you, say, not A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, only few of them. Then you realize, am I really meant for that? You suddenly realize, oh my God, what am I chasing? Something which I do not know. It's like Alice in Wonderland. That's how some careers are made, I've seen. Actually, that's not a career. People are into job hopping, not into career development. Why job? They talk about the money and they want a position in a reputed company. When these three things come together, there's no career. I'm not saying it is not true all the time. But if it is coming with your thoughtfulness, then according to me, it doesn't matter whether large company or small company. It doesn't matter whether the package is too attractive or just about what you want. What matters is that you grow. Because history has it that when you know what you want, the position, the money, everything comes chasing behind you. B, when you know what you want, you are able to contribute to the organization in a multiple fold. That's why this particular chapter, number one, I'm dwelling a lot on you, and you, not on the company. Books written on this particular subject, principles of management, have never dwelt about the individual self-growth. Today, we are emphasizing on the individual self-growth before you embark on the management process. There is another subject which you will be learning, which is called as organization behavior, where we talk about you and your behavior. But rarely we talk about behavior in a self-growth in this subject, but we felt the need to include this to tell you the importance of understanding what is a goal, what is planning, how to go about clarifying your thoughts. And I'm sure all of you will find this very value-added. Nobody would have ever thought of listening to this in a lecture on principles of management. Take any textbook, nowhere this thing is mentioned. We are the pioneers in doing this for the first time, because we feel that students or anybody who wants to embark on making a management process happen, they must first and foremost get into a clarity and a comfort and a joy of what they want. This is our vision, which we have practiced, we have gone through all these things, and we are conveying this to you. Right, friends? So, specific. Next comes measurable. Anything not measurable is not achievable. That's what we say in management. It's like saying, I'm telling Jayesh, Jayesh, study hard. He'll nod his head and go. First and foremost, I have not been specific. Out of concern for Jayesh, I tell Jayesh, you study hard. Daddy, he'll nod his head and go. Results come. He's got 45-50% just passed. I said, Jayesh, what is this? You only got 50%. I told you to study hard. Yeah, I studied hard. Don't we find these conversations happening? Why have I set these expectations? When I put a measurement, there is always expectations set in terms of measurables. I tell Jayesh, reworded, I tell Jayesh, Jayesh, study hard. Now Jayesh is intelligent to ask me, sir, what is studying hard? I said, Jayesh, if you get 85% and above, you have really done a good job. So 85 becomes a measurable. The brain starts operating in a direction only when there's a measurable. Do you agree or not? If I tell that so and so, Sachin is having a very high temperature. High temperature, high means I'll think high is 102. Somebody else will think that high is 99 point something. Instead, if I say Sachin is having a temperature of 101 degrees, so and so, then he knows, yes, we know what it is. Measurable makes your brain think in a certain direction. Immeasurable, it makes your mind go haywire. Okay, so measurable is very important. The goal must be measurable. Like why I said, I want to secure 95% marks is measurable. Right? Next is achievable. Is it achievable? Is it possible for me to achieve this? Right? That's very important. Our resources are limited. You all agree? Our resources are limited. I have 1 crore rupees with me. I want to buy a flat in South Mumbai. Possible? Not possible. I may get a smaller house, but if I want a very swank house, not possible. So, therefore, if you want to buy a flat in Mumbai and you have just 5 lakhs with you, it may be a challenge to buy a flat there, right? I don't think in 5 lakhs at this point of time when I'm talking to you, we can never get a flat in Mumbai. Flat. You may get a room. A small room in remote part of Mumbai, outskirts of Mumbai, which is hardly Mumbai. It's possible. So, is it achievable? Right? Next comes realistic. Realistic tells you, where do I stand? Am I standing on ground and creating a goal, or am I floating in the air? Many people float in the air. Realistic says, we cannot dream to become a prime minister when you have not even become a corporator. Okay, while I'm talking to you, the elections are around the corner, right? And you want to climb Mount Everest, for example. I give you another example. You have not even taken a walk, a morning walk, which is prescribed. You have not even climbed a small hillock. You have not even done that. You don't know how to climb a hillock, and you talk about going to Mount Everest. Many people discuss such things in business meetings, I've seen. They talk about big things, things which are not realistic. And they say that unless you dream, things will not happen. That is not realistic. Sorry. Dreaming and acting is important. Vision. We'll come to that later. It's important to think of big things. But at the time of setting a goal, you can't set big things unrealistic and say that we'll venture into it. That becomes an adventure. Worse still, misadventure. That's one thing we should be watchful about. There's a lot of things happening about people saying, we must do this, do that. And they land up in trouble. And they put a whole lot of people into trouble. If the owners of the company, if the directors of the company, if the top people, if the managers are not realistic, we have problems. Today many organizations are going through a lot of issues because people are not realistic in what is what and what is not. Realism puts you into a sustainability You can make a note of it. Realism puts you into a sustainability. It tells you what is called as a reality check. Yes, this is realistic. Take a decision. This is not realistic. Don't take a decision. Understand reality first, right? And we cannot dream to become a prime minister, as we said, if you're not even become a local corporator, right? Next is time bound. I want to study hard. I want to do something. I want to do an MBA. For 5 years, a student keeps telling you. He doesn't do it. Nothing is time bound. The moment he says that in the next 2 years, I want to do a management course, and he gives a deadline and a date, a specific date, things happen. Your goal should have a time limit, such as I want to get admission to a medical college by, say, December 2014. The moment you say that, there are certain processes that happen within you that make you work towards achieving that particular goal. So, management means the challenge of change, accomplishment of groups, group goals, effective utilization of resources, effective functioning of business. All these are the importance of management. Resource development. Which resource are we talking about? All the resources. I'll explain this to you. Human resources. When I join a company new, my utilization is less for the company. Agreed? I'm fresher. Next year, is my utilization by the company more? Answer is yes. The more the number of years of experience I put in the organization, my utility level goes up. Man, among the four resources, men, machine, materials and money, man is the only resource that appreciates in value over time. The rest of the three resources, either they depreciate or they are converted into other forms. But man multiplies. That is the resource development we are talking about, human manpower resources development. One. What about the other resources, machines, money, materials, methods? We can constantly research and make them optimized. Better and better ways of doing things. Right? So that is the development of the resources. So you keep on coming out with newer ways of utilizing the resources so that they become optimized. Not minimized, not maximized, but optimized. Don't keep on minimizing things in the form of cost cutting, materials cost cutting, etc., because that is stupid. If you do it out of context, it only creates more troubles than good. If a cost cutting has to happen with the purpose, do it. If it is just to be done for the sake of saving something at the cost of something else because you do not have a proper vision, that's dangerous. Okay? If we say in a penny wise and pound foolish, that should not be the case. Sound organizational structure it creates. When you, the importance of management I'm explaining. Management directs the organization and it integrates various interests. Integration means what? It brings together the various interests of the various departments and the various people who are working there. My interest as a human being, as a resource is working in the company. The interest of the top management to be a presence in the market. The interest of the consumer to get what he wants from the organization. All these things are integrated. Right? It stabilizes the fluctuations. It innovates. What do you mean by fluctuations? Market changes take place. Within the company, people join and leave. So many things happen. Fluctuation takes place. But when we have a steady set of processes called management practices, it absorbs fluctuations. We say the presence of management processes. Presence of management processes. Do not always guarantee success. The presence of management processes do not always guarantee success, but they reduce the tendency or the propensity for failure. What does it mean? It means when I am following a systematic path, there may come some times that I may fail. Business cycles go through ups and downs. Agreed? There are times when the company may not make profits. But when the company practices are very solid, it's just a matter of time before they make profits. Do you agree or not? If your discipline itself is not there and you make profits, because of the lack of discipline, you are surely going to make a loss. And you'll make progressive losses down the slide. It can happen. That's why we say it stabilizes the fluctuation, the management process. It innovates, it makes you come out with newer ways of doing things, in which you get leverages on the resources. It coordinates coordination and team spirit it fosters. It tackles and solves problems. Management is a tool for personal development. I strongly believe in this. If I learn management, my personal development is faster. I can speak for myself. I've come a very long way from what I used to be 20 years back till now, because I put these things into practice the day I started becoming a manager in the corporate world, and also into my personal life, and also when I became a self-employed, my own training company when I set up. Because I had to be very systematic to get my work done. I had to be very clear. So I went through a complete rejuvenation. How did I do it? By using many principles which we are discussing here, right? And that brings us to the end of the session, my dear friends. I'm sure all of you have enjoyed it. Do give us a feedback, and all the best.